Today's daf is Ervin Daf Lamed Dalid. We left off on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. We're in the middle of a discussion which is going to take us through pretty much most of Amid Aleph of today's daf, of trying to figure out the Braisa on Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. The Braisa had said that even though we had a din both in the Mishnah and the Braisa that if you put an Erev Lamalame Asar Tfachim in a tree, the halach is that it's not a good Erev, but when you put it in a basket in a tree, then it is a good Erev. That was Rebbe's din, that if it's in a basket in a tree, even Lamalame Asar Tfachim, even 10 Tfachim off the ground, is a good Erev. So we're trying to figure out what's the Svara for that. Why would that be better when it's in a basket rather than being in the tree itself? So yesterday we learned the answer of Ravina, and we began to learn the answer of Rabbi Yirmiya. So we're going to continue with the answer of Rabbi Yirmiya. That's pretty much going to take us through the bottom of Amud Aleph. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss the next case in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had said, what if you put your Eruv in a bar, afilu amuk mea ama, even if it's 100 amos deep, that the Eruv is going to be a valid Eruv? And we're going to discuss, well, what case is that talking about? Where is this bar? Is this bar in Rosh Hashanah? Is the bar in a Rosh Hashanah? How does that make sense? Then we're going to have a new Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis that's going to discuss an Eruv placed on top of a reed. And the Gemara is going to figure out why we distinguish between a reed that's still attached to the ground and one that's detached from the ground for the purposes of putting an Eruv there. And once we discuss different types of reeds, we're going to distinguish between hard and soft reeds in Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Klayim. And we'll see, maybe we'll get to talk in Hilchos Brachos a little bit. The Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis discusses whether an Eruv that's locked in a closet and then you lose the key is a valid Eruv or not. Meaning, who b'makom echad v'eruv b'makom acher? Is that only when there's a halachic problem or when there's a practical problem that you have no access to the Eruv also, such as the fact that you lost the key? So let's begin with Rabbi Yirmiya again. So we're trying to figure out why is it that the Braisa says that if you have an Eruv l'malame asarat fachim in a basket, that it's going to be a good Eruv. After all, isn't it huve b'makom echad v'eruv b'makom acher? A person is trying to be Kona Shvisa in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the Eruv is up in Tent Fachim in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid in the tree. So Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Shaini Kalkala, Hol V'yachol Netosa Leviya L'toch Hasara. No, a basket is different, because a basket, you're always able to tilt it over a little bit and to bring it within Tent Fachim of the ground. And since you can do that, it's considered that you have access to the Eruv. Says Tosos, is this making an assumption about Eged Kli Shmei Eged or Lav Shmei Eged? Again, Tosus points out in Dibra Maskel Hoil, Pirush Rabbeinu Shmuel, Dehaya Morasovra Karabonan Damri Bamatznia, Eged Kli Shmei Eged, Vikivin De Eged Kli Lemala Miyud, Kishenocha Erev Lemata, Ein Ba'anocha Zu, Iser Hotza'a. That when the Eruv goes under Ten Tfachim, when it rests under Ten Tfachim, even though because the top of the Kli is above Ten Tfachim, it's not considered an Isra Otza'a. V'achar Shenoch B'Rashus HaRabim, Yachalit Lo Lo Ochlo. And since it's not an Isra to have it down in the Rashus HaRabim, to have the Eruv tilted down into the Rashus HaRabim, and once it's in the Rashus HaRabim, then you're allowed to take it. So it seems like we must be assuming that it's Eged Kli Shmei Eged, and that's why it never became Usser to take the Eruv. Umihu. But however, Tel says, maybe you could explain like we explained yesterday, I think, that Afilu Lo Shmei Eged. Ein Kan Isra Hotza, Hol V'Nach B'Kalkala L'Mata Me'asara, Davi Karmelis, Im Roch of Dalid, Vein Ba'Toyazu, Isra Da'Raisa. That when a person tilts the Kli, it's not a violation of moving something from the Rosh Hashanah Yachid to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and nothing to do with Eged Kli Shmei Eged. Even if you ignore the fact that parts of the Kli are still the Malame Asara, it's simply not being brought into a Rosh Hashanah Yachid at that point. It's being brought into a Karmelis. It's in a Kli that's less than 10 Tfachim off the ground. That would be a Karmelis. So Tal says we don't necessarily have to get involved in that Machlokas, whether Eged Kli Shmei Eged or not. But Rabbi Yirmiya's solution, again, is that we tilt the basket, and by tilting the basket, we are now making the Eruv accessible, and therefore it's not a problem of who b'makom echad ve'eruvo b'makom acher. That's what the Kli helps. If you were to put it straight in a tree without any Kli, you can't tilt anything. It's on a tree, so there's nothing you could do about it, and that would be no good. But the Kli helps because you could tilt the Kli down. So the Gemara is going to have two kashas on Rabbi Yirmiya. So kasha number one, Yasra Papa v'karmen l'ashmaitu, when Papa was saying over Rabbi Yirmiya's answer, says Rav Bar Shva, Rav Papa asked Rav Papa from the following case. Ketzad hu ose. What should a person do when Yontif falls out on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, and a person wants to make an Erev for both days, both for Yontif, for Friday, and for Shabbos? So what should he do to ensure he's going to need two separate Erev? He can't just put an Erev on an Erev Tchumen out before Yontif and rely on that for Shabbos as well. For all you know, it's gone by the time Shabbos starts, and you can't rely on an Erev that's not there in the Beit HaShemashos when Shabbos starts. So what should he do? He wants to make sure that he has an Erev for both days. So Malicho Barishon, Umachshechalav Vinotlo, Ubalo B'sheni, Machshechalav Va'ochlo Uvalo. He should bring the Erev out on Erev Yantif, by Ben HaShemashos, stay with the Erev the entire time of Ben HaShemashos. Once Ben HaShemashos is over, good, now he was Kona Shvisa in that Makom, he could bring the Erev back home for the rest of Friday, and then when it comes late Friday afternoon, bring the Erev back out to that location, stay with it throughout Ben HaShemashos, and then if he wants, he could eat it. He can't bring it back home because he can't violate Hotzah. It's Shabbos now, so once it's Shabbos, he's not going to be able to bring it back home. Now Rashi points out a very important Ha'ara. If he's going out to that area, both on Thursday night Ben HaShemashos and Friday night Ben HaShemashos, why does he need any bread there to begin with? Isn't he being Ma'arev Beraglav? Isn't that itself a good enough Erev? So Rashi points out in Dibra Maschil Masiv, on the second line of value, De Shlucho Ka'amar, that it doesn't mean that he's going out. It must be that he's sending a Shliach to do this for him. De'i'i hu gufei below pasnami kani le shvisa. Because if he himself were going out, then even without the bread, he'd be kona shvisa. Kivin da hasim yasav, kiddush aleyom, v'kaddush aleyomah. Because that's where he physically is, and the day starts if he's physically there. So that's called being Ma'ariv Beraglav. The whole idea that you even need to bring any bread must be assuming that there's a shaliach involved and that he's not going himself. Now Tosis points out, Pirish HaKuntros Alide Shlucho Kamar Diyu Afilu Below Pas Kani LeShvisa UPirish Kein Mishum DeBesof Misho Tziuhu. Tosis says the reason Rashi says this, that it's gotta be a shaliach, is because the Gemara is going to say Paskinon Karab Nachman Valib Rabbi Yehuda Dechad Ani Va'ashir Ma'ariv Baraglav. We hold that both an Ani and an Ashir could make an Erev without food, just by showing up at the location. Meaning, the Gemara tells us that the idea of making an Erev with food is more appropriate for an Ashir, because he's got plenty of food. Whereas being Ma'ariv Baraglav is more appropriate for an Ani, who doesn't have food, so it's much easier for him to just be there. So the discussion over there is, does an Erev Baraglav help for an Ashir? So we say, Ashir, since you have excess food, use some of it and make an Erev that way. And you're not allowed to make an Erev Baraglav. So the Talmud says, Rashi's assuming, like the Maskana of the Gemara over there, that the halacha is that both an Ani and an Ashir are allowed to be Ma'ariv Baraglav. That Erev Baraglav is the ideal kind of Erev. By actually being there, that's the best kind of Erev. So an Ashir can do that also. So that's why Rashi has to say that in our case, we're dealing with a Shaliach. So again, if Yontif falls out on Friday, make an Erev on Yontif, bring it back home for the day of Yontif, then bring that same Erev back out there and make it for Shabbos. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi's going to explain the question. The Gemara didn't really... Let's read the next two lines, then we'll come back to Rashi. So the Gemara says, we're trying to challenge Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, since you have the ability to lean the basket, to tilt the basket, and therefore put your Erev in your makom, make it accessible to you, so therefore it's considered huvei ruva b'makom echad. So what's the Gemara asking? What does that have to do with this case of Friday is Yontif and you're making an Erev? So says the Gemara, amai name a kiven di iboi amtuye motzi mamtile afgav delo amtia commanda amtia dami. So why don't we say that since if you wanted you could have the Erev out there, then even if you don't bring the Erev out there, it's as if you have the Erev out there. Meaning, if you're going to say that yachul inatosa, that when it comes to a basket, the fact that you could, if you wanted, to tilt the basket would make the Erev accessible, okay, so good, we view the Erev as accessible right now. Even though right now it's in a Rosh Hashanah Yachad, and you're in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. What do you mean accessible? It's huvei ruva than not b'makom echad. No, but you could make it b'makom echad. There's a way to do it, so we view it as if it's done. So I asked the Gemara, so why over here, by the case of the Erev on Friday, And Shabbos, do you actually have to bring the Erev back out to make a new Erev for Shabbos? Why don't we just say, since you could bring it out there, so it's ki'ilu that it's there already. We should say that just like the tilting of the basket, since you could put it in a viable spot for an Erev, we view it as if it is in a viable spot for the Erev. So say the same thing over here. So Rashi explains the last four lines. Katani mias, hama'ariv tzorech laholich eruvah lusof alpayim. It says at the end of the day that you got to bring the Erev to sof alpayim. You got to bring the Erev to the location where you want to be Kona Shvisa. What do you need to bring it for? Misha asol l'shem Erev. As soon as you make it l'shem Erev, neima avlgav delo amtia kamanda amtia dami. Just have kavana that you want it to be an Erev. So what do you got to schlep out there? Da'amre tol v'yachol intosa. We say when it comes to tilting the basket that if you wanted you could tilt it. V'achol kamanda lo amtia hi. Da'hu b'rshus rambe eruv b'rshus yachid. V'kamre tol v'yachol intosa. Umali ho'ol v'yachol intosa. What difference does it make whether the chisaron in the Erev is that it needs a little tilting and you haven't done that, or the chisaron in the Erev is that it needs a little bringing and you haven't done that? So the way Rashi is understanding the kasha is we're questioning the entire concept of Eruv Dechumen. We're saying, why do you ever need to bring an Erev? The fact that you could bring food to a certain location, so that should be good enough. Why should you ever have to make an Erev? Yachol, you can do it. It's roi to be brought. That alone should be good enough. So Rashi realizes that that's a little bit difficult because the Gemara is quoting a very specific case to ask from. We're quoting a case of a yontif falls on Friday and then you need to make a second Erev for Shabbat. So why would the Gemara quote that? Just ask, why do we ever need an Erev? So Rashi notes that problem and he says, V'hai d'nakot al-suvim asnis in the Yom Tov v'Shabbos, the reason we quote such a Mishnah by Yom Tov and Shabbos, Mishum delot tnan b'mishnah achriti Allah chaser behedya kiyacha. There's no other Mishnah that's as explicit about actually bringing an Erev, that you must take your Erev and bring it to that location. We're going to have to pay attention to that as we go through Mishnayos. Is there no other Mishnah that talks about bringing an Erev, l'sof alpayim, that you actually have to bring an Erev? Rashi tells us no. There's no other Mishnah that's quite as explicit, but really the whole kasha has nothing to do with Yontif Shabbos. It has nothing to do with the juxtaposition of Yontif and Shabbos. It's just all about the concept of Erev. How could we ever have such a concept of Erev? We should always say that since it's roi to be brought, that's good enough. Needless to say, a lot of the Rishonim are not so thrilled with this Rashi. They don't all agree with this Rashi. The Tosfos Rid asks in Rashi that there are a lot of Mishnayos that it's muchach that you have to bring the Erev and put it in Makom Shvisa. Why would you dafka bring this Mishnah? He says it's not true that this is the only Mishnah, and it doesn't sound from the Gemara. The impression you get from the Gemara is that it doesn't sound like we're questioning the entire concept, the entire notion of an Erev Tchumen. So a lot of other Rishonim explain that Rav Bar Sheva was asking dafka from Yom Tov, that since on Yom Tov itself you're able to bring it, why do you have to bring it l'makom hashvisa during Bein Hashmashos? And the Ritva points out that the kasha really is from the fact that it says in the Mishnah that if you have to bring the Yom Tov, you have to bring the Erev of Yom Tov before Yom Tov begins, but when it comes to bringing it on Yom Tov for the second Erev of Shabbos, that's not really a kasha why you have to bring it before Shabbos begins, because once it's Bein Hashmashos, it's already too late. You're not going to be allowed to carry it. So we're asking why you need to bring it so early. Why do you need to bring it before Yom Tov begins? So we're asking dafka from Yom Tov, that since on Yom Tov itself you're able to bring it, why do you have to set it up in advance before Yom Tov begins? Meaning, obviously, at some point it's got to end up out there. You can't be Kona Shvisa without an Erev in that basic vicinity. That's not what we're asking. Asking is, why does it have to already happen? Why does it have to happen so early? Why, by the time Bein Hashmashos begins, does the Erev already have to be there? Just bring it on Yontif. Now, the fact that you could have brought it earlier should be enough, right? And then when you bring it, you'll bring it a little bit later. The fact that you could have brought it by the time Bein Hashmashos begins should have been good enough. Once you actually do bring it on during Bein Hashmashos. So that's how the other Rishonim understand this kasha of the Gemara. So let's see what the answer is. So again, the Gemara is challenging Rabbi Yirmiyah. If the ability to do something is good enough, even if you didn't actually do it, So why over here isn't it good enough? So I'm Rabbi Zeira, Gzeira Mishum Yomtov, Shechali Yosachar Shabbos. So Rabbi Zeira says, let's answer it first the way the other Rishonim asked the question. Why do you need to bring it so early before Yomtov even begins? Because then what's going to happen when Yomtov falls on Sunday? So you're going to remember, oh yeah, when I need to make an Eder for two consecutive days, on the first day I don't have to be so careful about bringing it before the first day begins. I could bring it on that day. But what if that day happens to be Shabbos? Then you're going to violate Hotzah. So in order to avoid getting confused when Yontif is on Friday versus the case when Yontif is on Sunday, so we just make it easier that you shouldn't get confused. According to Rashi, what's the Gemara's answer? We're questioning the whole concept of Eruv. Why do you ever need to bring an Eruv in the first place? So if you look at Rashi himself on the top, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Hada Atzruch Rabbanan, L'kol HaMa'arvin, L'holuch Eruvan, L'makam Shvi Sasan, the reason why anybody who makes an Eruv ever needs to bring the Eruv to their Makam Shvisa, Gzeru Mishum Yomtov Achar Shabbos. It's a Gzeru because of a case where Yomtov falls on Sunday. Where you don't even have the ability to make the Eruv for the next day. I mean, if you want to make an Eruv for Yontif on Shabbos, you can't, because you can't violate Hotzah, you can't bring it. So we always say, you know what? It's not good enough that the Eruv can be, that you have the potential, because if we tell people that it's good enough to have the potential to bring the Eruv there, people are just going to get in their heads that all they need is Kavana to make an Eruv. And what's going to happen? Yontif is going to fall out on Sunday, and someone's going to say, okay, today's Shabbos, I have Kavana to make an Eruv. But it's not going to be good enough in that case, because when does Kavana to make an Eruv work? That's only if you have the ability to bring it out. People aren't going to realize, well, I don't have the ability on Shabbos to bring it out. So instead, what we tell people is, no, you need to bring your Eruv to the Makom Shvisa. And then everyone will realize that they simply can't do that on Shabbos to set up for the following day, which is Yom Tov. So it's all Gzeirim Shem Yom Tov, Shechal Yosachar Shabbos. It's interesting. In the question, the way Rashi understands it, it doesn't have to be a case of Yom Tov falling out on Friday. The answer, though, focuses on a case, bedafka, of Yontif falling out on Sunday. Okay, so that was challenge number one to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Challenge number two, Esvei niskaving lishvos perushos raminichai ruva bakosel. If a person wants to set up his Shabbos residence in Rosh Hashanah, and he puts his Erev on a wall, so it depends how high on the wall it is. This is going to be exactly like our Mishnah. So if it's lower than 10 Tvachim down, so great, that's a good Erev. If it's higher than 10 Tvachim, so then it's not a good Erev. If a person wants to be Kona Shvisa in an elevated place, in the Rosh Hashanah, top of a dovecote or a tower of some sort, a closet of some sort. So again, lemalam yutfachem eruv eruv. So then it's going to be the opposite, obviously. If he intends to be kona shvisa above 10 tfachim off the ground, so good. So then his eruv is good. I mean, if he puts the eruv above 10 tfachim off the ground, since that's where he wants to be kona shvisa, so then it's perfectly good. He has a good eruv. Lemata me'asar tfachim ein eruv eruv. If the place he wants to be kona shvisa is above 10 tfachim, but he puts the eruv below 10 tfachim, so then it's not a good eruv. Vamai, so frankly, why not? Hachanami, name a hold the yachlin toso, lovil, the tochasara. Why can't we say, well, after all, you could just lean it, it's in a migdal, so just lean it, and then it will get within 10 tvachim of where you want to be. Now the closet that you put it in is nailed into the wall, and therefore you have no access to it. There's no possibility of just tilting it over because it's not tiltable. Rava Amar, you could even say that it's talking about one that's not nailed into the wall. Vacha b'migdal aruch haskinan, but it's a very long box. The imamti leporta azul chutzlar ba'amos, where if you tilt it, it's going to go beyond dalet amos, and then it's going to be a violation of carrying beyond dalet amos. So frekli gemara bor hechidami. What's the case exactly? Idi ika kafsu masna laisi b'kafsu masna. If you have a little window and a rope, can't you? That's what Rashi says. Kafsu chalon misna chevel. If you have in the top of the closet, there's a little bit of an opening, and you have a rope in your hand that's tied to the eruv. So even if it's in a karmelis, well, that's under 10 tefachim, you should be able to bring it through the migdal, because you're carrying it from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah. Just lift it up with the rope, and that way it will be accessible to you. So says Gemara, okay, the less like kafso masna. Who says there's a window and a rope? That's a very specific set of things to have. So we're assuming that he doesn't have those items. period. That's the end of that discussion about an Eruv in a tree, l'mala me'asar tzvachim. Now we move on to the next case in the Mishnah. Nasnu bebar afilu amuk me'a amo. We said if you put an Eruv down in a bar, even if it's 100 amos deep, so the Eruv is a valid Eruv. That's perfectly fine. The Eruv is kosher. So the Gemara is going to discuss, where is this bar located that the Eruv is a kosher Eruv? Three possibilities. So hai bar dekai hecha. Where is this bar? If the bar is surrounded by area that's a rishus yachid, pshit a rishus yachid ola ad larakia. So then, of course, the bar is fine. The eruv in the bar is fine because what do we know about a rishus yachid? That the rishus yachid extends in the airspace all the way to the sky. So it stands to reason v'kiyechid esalkel el hachanami denachta l'tachas. That if the Rishus Yachid extends all the way up to the sky, so then it should also be able to extend all the way down to the depths of the earth. So the bar is in the same Rishus as wherever you're trying to be Kona Shvisa. If you're trying to be Kona Shvisa just outside the bar, and that area is a Rishus Yachid, so the depths of the bar is also Rishus Yachid. I wouldn't need anybody to teach me that. That can't be the Chiddush of the Mishnah. So the Ella, possibility number two, the Kai Rishus Harabin. Maybe the surrounding area of this bar is a Rishus Harabin. So the Niskavin Lishvosecha. So it says, okay, where are you trying to be Kona Shvisa? Id Lamala. If you're trying to be Kona Shvisa above the, meaning outside of the bar, which is in the Rishus HaRabim, and the Eruv is in the bar, and we just said this bar is Amuk Me'a Ama, and presumably it's Dalet Al Dalet Tfachim as well, so this bar is a Rishus Yachid. So you have a bar that's a Rishus Yachid, the surrounding area is a Rishus HaRabim. How in the world can you be Kona Shvisa in a Rishus HaRabim when your Eruv is in a Rishus Yachid? Hu B'makam Echad Ve'eruva B'makam Acher. And in the Mata, Pshita! And if you're trying to be Kona Shvisa in the bar, well then of course it's good. Why wouldn't it be good enough if you're trying to be Kona Shvisa in the bar? It's you're both in the same location. Huve Ruvo b'makom echad. Both he and the Eruv are in the same place. So we go with the third possibility. It's not, the area around the bar is neither Rishus Yachin nor Rishus Rabin. Tzricha dekai b'karmelis. The area around the bar is a karmelis. V'niskavin lishvos l'mala. And you're trying to be Kona Shvisa in the karmelis around the bar. But doesn't that make the Eruv inaccessible because the Eruv is in a Rishus Yachid and you're in a Karmelis and you're not allowed to carry from a Rishus Yachid to a Karmelis on Shabbos? Yeah, says the Gemara for Rabbi he. We're assuming like the Shita of Rabbi. That we were never gozer isurim drabban and ben ashmashos. Carrying from Rishus Yachid to a Karmelis is only a drabban, it's only a shvos. The Eruv only needs to take effect and needs to be accessible to you during Ben HaShemashos. There's no Isra of Shavuos during Ben HaShemashos. So our Mishnah assumes like Rebbe. When our Mishnah sets up a case of an Eruv in a bar that's Amuk Me'a Ama, it has to be assuming like the Shita of Rebbe. And that's going to be important when we analyze the next Mishnah. Because if we say that our Mishnah is Rebbe, then one would expect that the next Mishnah would also conform to the Shita of Rebbe, unless we're told otherwise. So let's see the next Mishnah. Nasu Barosh HaKana O Barosh HaKundas Bizman Shu Talush V'Na'utz Afilu Gava Kovama Reza Eruv. If a person puts an Eruv on top of a reed, or on top of a pole of some sort, as long as that reed or pole is not growing from the ground, it was something that was detached from the ground, and then you just stuffed it in the ground, and you reattached it to the ground artificially, but it's not growing from the ground. It's not something that cutting it would involve the malacha of kotzer, because it's no longer growing from the ground. So then, no matter how high it is, that's a perfectly good eruv. There's no problem. Now Rashi over here says that we must be talking about a kana where the top of it is four tefachim wide. But the mata, on the bottom of it, it's not four tefachim wide. And he explains that the reason you have to say that it's four tefachim wide at the top is because according to Rabbi Yehuda, which we learned yesterday, Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that an Eruv always must be on a makom chashuv. You can't place an Eruv on something that's not a makom chashuv. Definition of a makom chashuv is four tefachim. So it's got to be on a place that's four tefachim wide. However, since the bottom is less than four tefachim wide, that's why it's not a Rishus HaYachid, and therefore the Eruv is a good Eruv. meaning if on the bottom it was also 4 tefachim wide, the whole pole is 4 tefachim wide, bottom to top, and it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, so then you're putting your Erev in a Rosh Hashanah. And if you're trying to be Kona Shvisa at the base of that pole, and that's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you got problems. Then we should go back to what we said in the previous mission with the Elon, that it's no good, that it's not a good Erev. So Elamai, how could it be a good Erev? It must be that at the bottom it's less than 4 tefachim wide, and therefore it's not a Rosh Hashanah, but it's still a Makom Chashuv, because on the top of the pole it is 4 tefachim wide. And that's what the Rashba and the Ran say, that it sounds that way from the Hemshech of the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to say that our Mishnah is assuming like Rebbe, and Rebbe holds on yesterday's daf, like Rebbe Yehuda, that you need a Makom Chashuv of Dalil Tfachim for the Erev to be on. And in fact, the Rishonim quote that that's what it says in Yerushalmi as well. Rabbi Muna Vuhushete Tavlin Asuna Barosho. That there has to be some sort of tile on the top of this pole, because the pole itself is less than 4 tefachim, but there's some sort of platform on the top of the pole that that is 4 tefachim to have the Erev sit on it. That is Shitas Rashi, the Rash, but that seems to be the simple way of understanding our Mishnah. The Rush, however, quotes from Aram Rutenberg that since the Mishnah never said that we're talking about a pole that's 4 tefachim wide at the top, sounds like even if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, and says the Rush in the name of Aram Rutenberg, this our Mishnah is the raya that we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't need an Erev on a Makom Chashuv, because we have a Stam Mishnah that seems to just assume you're allowed to put an Erev on top of a pole, and there's no such concern of being on a Makom Chashuv. That's the Machlokas, how to understand the case of our Mishnah. But Frek the Gemara, what about the authorship of our Mishnah? Or, even we'll get to the authorship in a second, Frek the Gemara, why does the Mishnah have to say that the pole is not attached to the ground, that the reed is not attached to the ground? And if it were attached to the ground, what would be the problem? What, you're worried about being mishtamesh pi'ilan, that you're going to be using a tree when you take the Erev off? Didn't we say ben ashmashos, we're not worried about being mishtamesh pi'ilan? What exactly is the concern? So Rami le Ravad bar Masa le Rava, talush v'na'otz in, lo talush v'na'otz lo. Sounds like it's only because it was detached from the ground and then stuck back into the ground, that's why it's okay. But if it wasn't detached from the ground and then stuck back into the ground, it would not be okay. Mani Rabbanan hi, Damri called over shum yishum shvus, Gozru alav ben ashmashos. This must be assuming like the Rabbanan that were gozer on a shvus during the period of ben ashmashos. V'amrit reisha Rebbe, but didn't we just say 2 minutes ago that the last mission, when it spoke about a bar amuk afilu mea ama, that only fits with the shita of Rebbe, that we're not worried about the Rabbanan during ben ashmashos, and that's why we're not worried about the fact that you're trying to be kona shvisa in a karmelis, even though your Erev is down in a bar in Rishus HaYachid? So Reisha Rebbe, Sefer Rabbanan. So the last line of the Mishnah, of the previous Mishnah, is going like Rebbe, and now this Mishnah just transitions right into the Rabbanan. And again, this is it's a more considerable problem when you consider the way the Mishnayos were written. The Mishnayos were not broken up like this. They were broken up by Perek, and that's it. There's Perek Aleph, and then all the Mishnayos are really one big Mishnah. When they put together the Vilna Shas a few hundred years ago, this was much, much later. It was the Rishonim didn't even have it broken up like this. They just put together the Vilna Shas, they broke up these Mishnayos. So there's no way, it doesn't make sense that they were authored by different people. It's the same Mishnah, it's one sentence, it's one run-on sentence. So it's very, very unlikely. We don't like to say that unless we have no other choice, to say that when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wrote it without informing us, he was switching from one shita to the other, in presenting one shita to the other. So it says there are two approaches. Amalei kvar rami le rami bar chama le rav chista v'shani le reisha rabbi v'sefer rabbanon. Yet, there is a problem, kash has been dealt with, and that's what Rav Chista said, that you have to say that the authorship changes in the middle, even though we don't like to say that we have no choice. Ravina amar kula rabbi hi v'sefer gzera shem yiktob. Ravina says, no, the whole thing is going like rabbi, and the sefer, in our Sefer means our Mishnah, where the reed has to have been detached from the ground, is because otherwise we're afraid you're gonna cut it from the ground. You're gonna come to cut it when you try to retrieve your Eruv, you're gonna come to break it, and that will cut it, and that will be a violation of Kotzer. The Chashash is that since it's very soft, maybe when you try to take your Eruv from it, you're going to clip it in some way, and that's gonna be Mlacha D'Oraisa of Kotzer. But if it's a tree, there's no such concern. A tree is very hard, so there's no chashash of kotzer. Hishtamshus b'ilan, which is a chashash shemi yitlosh, we're not chashash because it's ben hashmashos, so that's shitas rabbi, again, that we're assuming like. But that's the difference between a tree and a reed. So a group of Rishonim are bothered. The Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran are all bothered. Why are we chashash by a kana that you might come to clip it, and that's going to be a violation of lach daraisa? If while retrieving your eruv, you come to clip it, isn't that a davar shein miskavin? So davar shein miskavin is mutter, and it's not a psik reshe. It's hard to say that it's psik reshe, that every time you retrieve your eruv, you're gonna clip the reed and break it. So it's a davar shein miskavin. It should be mutter. It's not melechus machsheves. So Rishonim say that the way you have to understand Rashi is that the chashash is not that you're gonna come to accidentally clip it, that you're gonna come to purposely clip it, that you're going to want your Erev, and there's going to be a branch or something that's in your way, or an easier way to retrieve it rather than climbing up there is just by cutting it and having it fall down. So you're going to come to purposely do it, and that's going to be an Issa Daraisa. That's what it sounds like from Rabbeinu Chananel also. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Kivin to hu einu yachol natoso shami yiktemenu. Since you can't lean it over, so you'll just cut it. So it sounds like b'kavana you're going to cut it. That's going to be your etza of how to retrieve it. You can't climb a flimsy reed, and you can't lean it down, so you're going to come to cut it. The Bir Alach explains in Simon Tav Tes that according to those Rishonim, he says that softness is a reason for heter. The opposite of Rashi, there are several Rishonim that say that the fact that it's soft is more reason to be mekel, because the gzeira is dafka by kanim kashim. It's only by hard reeds that, since they're very thin, you're going to come to break them when you take the eruv. But by a soft reed, other Rishonim say there's no chashash whatsoever, because if it's a soft reed, it will bend and it won't break. So when it will bend, you're not worried about clipping it. But the Rambam has an entirely different understanding. The Rambam says that the gzeira is shami yiktom is shami yachtel chasakana when it's mechubel lekarka, because you're going to think that it's talush and that it's mutter to cut it. That's what the gzeira shami yiktom is. Now, why is it that it has to be detached from the ground? It's a chashash that you might cut the kana when it's still mechubel lekarka, because you're going to make the mistake and think that it's talush and that it's mutter to cut it. So we say, you know what, don't make an eruv on anything that's still attached to the ground, because we don't want someone to confuse the two situations. So that was all one discussion of Melechus Machsheves. There's another Melechus Machsheves discussion that the Rishonim have over here. The Rashba asks, okay, Gzeres Shem Yiktam, let's say the Gzeres you're going to do it on purpose. But so it's not a Davar Shein Miskavin, it's Davar Miskavin, so it's a Melecha. But what about Melech Shein Shricha Legufa? Normally, what's the Yisr of Kotzer? The Yisr of Kotzer is when you're Kotzer because you need the thing that you're being Kotzer. Over here, you're being Kotzer not because you want the wood, it's not because you need the reed, you're being Kotzer because you want to access the Eruv. So Rashba says, even if you do it b'kavana, it's not an Yisr Daraisa. It's Melech Shein Shricha Legufa. It's like Chofer Guma Einu Tzarech Alafara. It's like digging a hole where you only need the dirt. That's not an Yisr Daraisa. That's the Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Gimel and Beis. So he says, maybe that we're talking about a case where it is your reed, and once you cut it, you're going to use it. So that's enough to make a melachat shricha legufa. Granted, it may not be your primary motivation in cutting it right now, but it's part of your intention because it's something that you're going to use. And that's how the Ritva says as well, that it must be that it's yours. But the Meiri says, a little difficult to say, because then it would turn out that if it's kana shel chavero, that it's mutter to put an eruv on an attached kana shel chavero, and we don't find that anywhere. It never says anywhere. Mishnah just writes as din bestam. So the Meiri says that even though it's melach shein sricha legufa and it's only asamid rabbanon, still they were not even matter this ben hashmashos, because any shvus that's karov l'malacha, that's really, really closely resembles a malacha, they're not going to be makel on even in the period of ben hashmashos. So that's how the Meiri understands it. Okay, says the let's see further in the Gemara now. There was a large group that was coming to Nahar Da'ah. So Rav Nachman told his Talmidim, go into the place where there's overgrown weeds and just like lower them down, flatten them down to the ground, so that tomorrow we'll have a place to sit. We'll be able to sit where all those reeds are once they're flattened down to the ground. Rami Bar Chama, Rav Nachman, so Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Nachman, Rami Lamaruk for Baraba Rav Nachman, Talosh v'notzin lo, Talosh v'notzin lo. But didn't our Mishnah say that if something is detached from the ground, then you're allowed to put something on top of it, but not when it's still attached to the ground? So how can you just say flatten the stuff to the ground, still attached, and then we're going to be allowed to sit on it tomorrow? Why would that be a heter? Why would we be allowed to sit on it? How could you sit on pressed down reeds on Shabbos? Samalei hasum buuzradin. So Nachman answered, no, we're only strict with hard reeds that can easily break and are considered to be trees halachically. But soft reeds, like the ones Rav Nachman allowed people to sit on, would more likely bend and not break, and therefore there's no concern. The difference between hard reeds and soft reeds. Where do we find this distinction between soft reeds and hard reeds? So we find it in Hilchos Kelei Akerem, Detanya Hakonin Vahatadin Vahagin Min Ilan Hein Vein Klein Akerem. One of the things on the list that's counted as a tree and is therefore not a problem with Kelei Akerem, you're allowed to plant other types of trees in a vineyard. You're just not allowed to plant vegetation in a vineyard. So kanin are like a tree, and that you're allowed to plant in a vineyard. V'tani idach, but we have another brisa, ha-kanim v'akidon v'harbanin min yerekin v'hin klaim v'kerem. That kanim are considered to be yerek, they're considered to be vegetables, and therefore it's klaim v'kerem. So kasha adad yizn v'stiro, what are kanin? Are they an ilan or are they a yerek? So what you see is that there's a difference between soft ones and hard ones. The soft ones are different than the hard ones. Soft reeds are considered vegetables and cannot be planted in a vineyard. Hard reeds are considered like trees and therefore can be planted in a vineyard. V'kida min yereku. So frankly, Gemara, wait a second. You happen to have mentioned over here on the list of things that are min yerek, we said kanin, kidan, and orbanin. Are kidan really a min yerek? Whatever kida is that really a yerek? Vatanya ein markivin pagam al gabe kida levana mepreshu yerek bi ilan. You're not allowed to be markiv, you're not allowed to graft a pagam on a kida levana because that's taking a vegetable and grafting it with a tree. So it sounds like kida is a tree, that it's not a yerek. Papa, those are two separate meanim. Kida is one thing, kida levana is another thing. But we distinguish between these soft kanim and these hard kanim, whether it has the din of a vegetable or a tree. The Rambam writes, the Rambam Hilchos Brachos, the 8th paragraph of Hilchos Brachos, Halacha Hey, Hakanim Hametukim, those sweet reeds, Shesochtin Osan, that they squeeze out, Umavashlin Meimehen, and they cook the waters of it, Achi Yikve V'yidma L'melech, till it gets dehydrated, and it looks like little white granulated kernels, very much like salt. What's he describing? It's sugar, right? So he says he's describing sugar cane. Kala ga'onim omrim shem varkal of bari pri adama. All the ga'onim say that the bracha you make on it, if you eat it, is bari pri adama. Umutzasim omru bari pri eitz. And some say it's bari pri eitz. And he says, v'chein omru, if you're motzitz them, if you suck on them, on these kanim, you make a bracha bari pri adama. V'ani omer she'in ze pri ve'in varkal of el shahakol, shalo yedvash elu akanim shenishtan al yideya or, godol midvash tamarim shalo nishtan al yideya or varkal of shahakol. He says, think about it. On honey we make a shahakol, and that you didn't even have to cook to get it to where it is. Dvash tamarim, not honey from bees. Dvash tamarim we make shahakol, and that's just the juice of a tamar. Over here, we're actually cooking it and dehydrating it, a whole process. For sure, it's only shahakol. Now, why do the Gaonim hold that it's a bar priya dam and not bar priya eitz? Where does that come from? So it says the Kafter v'Ferech, because our sugya says that kanim and kidim or banim are all min yerek. Kanim are kane sukkar. It's sugar cane. That's how he understands that's the case that we're talking about. He quotes from Rashi in Shmuel Aleph on the pasuk halach udvash that's dvash kanim that are gedelim be'eretz Yisrael. The dvash that comes from these reeds that grow in Eretz Yisrael, and in Belashon Yishmol they call it sukra. So that's sugar. So that's la halacha. What are we passing? So Shulchan Aruch passing like the Rambam that on sugar we make a shahakol. The Torah asks in the Rambam, but wait a second. There's a big difference between what's the Rambam's whole raya from date honey. There's a big difference between date honey and sugar cane. The when you look at a date, what are you supposed to do with the date? It's not for its honey, it's for achila. And therefore, taking the honey from it, it's like juicing an orange, where you're supposed to, it's really primarily for achila. And the juice is a secondary usage of it. So since it's be'ikra, omi la'achila, so you don't make a bracha on the dvash that comes from it, the abar priyates, rather you make a shakal. But the sugar cane is for sugar. There's nothing you really do with sugar cane other than eat granulated sugar. So min adin you should really make a bar priya eitz. That's the kasha that the Torah asks on the Rambam. So the Bir Halacha on the spot says that the reason for the Rambam is that these kanim are not a pri. They're a wood that happens to have sweetness to them, and that's why he makes shakal. He says that it's really not about whether it's not a pri at all. It's not pri adam. It's not pri eitz. And the Linyan Halacha he says since the sheet of the Bahag is that you make a bar priya adama, and the sheet of the Torah is that you make a bar priya eitz. So he says we should make a bracha shakal because on every food if you make a shakal you're definitely yotzei. Meaning, granted, you're not supposed to do that. It's a misconception. People think if you don't know the bracha that you're just supposed to make a shahakal. No, if you made a shahakal on something and it was the wrong bracha, you're yotze. You're not supposed to make a shahakal. You don't know the bracha. You don't know the bracha. You're supposed to find out what the bracha is. You're supposed to learn. You're supposed to open up a shulchan aruch. But if a person is la halacha, he says since it's machlokas whether it's bar priya adam, bar priya eitz or shahakal, so we pass on like the Rambam really that it's shahakal because that's always the safest bet anyway. That one you'll definitely be yotze. Say when you make a shakal, but if b'diavad you made a bar priya eitz or a bar priya adama, he says maybe you'll be yotzei also. You could rely on the other shitos, the shitos of the gaonim and the tur, that maybe you'll be yotzei the bar priya adama, bar priya eitz as well. Okay, a good and chedesh. We'll pick up with the Mishnah as Hashem tomorrow.